You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Why did you get a credential for the Panthers game? You're not going to go to that.
Yeah, I'm going.
You are not going to go. What are you going to be doing there?
Working. What's the problem?
Just covering the Panthers all of a sudden?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yep. Why not?
What is your paint a picture for me of what your coverage of the game would be?
I'm going to go up there. I'm going to say hello to a few people I probably haven't seen in years, perhaps decades.
Who besides Goldie? Are you going to?
Mueller.
Oh, yeah. Rekindle your relationship with David Dwork.
Does he work there?
I presume so. He tweets about the Panthers all the time.
Dworky.
He sits next to me.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen David, so I'm going to say hi to him. I'm going to say hi to Steven Goldstein, to Randy Mueller, to George Richards, my friend. A lot of people to say hi to catch up with, and then I'll cover the Panthers.
Name
that's
another
what I
person.
Do. I can't.
I bet you, and this is nothing
he
against.
He has no idea where George Richards works either.
Well, I don't think
I would know if George Richards was sitting in this room right now.
My friend, yes. George Richards.
That's the same with Christ Almighty. If we lined up four David Dworks, I don't know that you'd be able to pick the right one. And that's nothing against David Dwork. That's you.
Now, I think I know who David Dwork is. Don't tell me tonight, Roy. Okay? Don't tell me.
You're not going.
I'm going. It's 10 minutes from my house. Listen, the Panthers are 1-0 in games I said I was going to go to and didn't go to.
The Heat are now 2-0 in such games.
Yes, they are.
So you're not going.
But right now, I'm going.
Well, the stat that you just gave, you just said, listen, the Panthers are 1-0 in games I say I was going to that I don't go to, which would indicate that unless you want the Panthers to lose, that stat you're throwing at us is because you intend to not go tonight. No one here believes you're going to the game.
So I should stay away. Do it for the team is what you're saying.
No.
Right?
No, you're saying that. Roy, do you have any belief whatsoever that Stugatz will be at the game tonight?
Despite putting in the work getting him the credential, no.
I put the work in. Like, there were forms to fill out. There were forms to submit. Roy gave me directions. I know exactly where to go. I know exactly where George Richards is going to greet me. I mean, I got it all. I'm right. Dan, it's a big game tonight. Panther game. Game 5.
Billy, what are your thoughts here on what there's always an angle with Stugatz. It's never what it seems. So, and you've become pretty fluent in, because my guess is in doing God Bless Football and Stupati and getting yet more Stugatz in your life, my guess is that you have even more fluency in the labyrinth of lies, the tapestry, and what the agendas are.
Well, that's why this one's confusing, because I can't figure out what's in it for him. Like, I don't.
It can't be to work, right? It can't be just to do extra work.
Work.
Well, that's another thing. I don't know what that work would even be. Like, I don't know what he even is pretending to be doing there. Because you're not going to be doing a post game with. What are you going to be doing there?
Watching the game. It's a big game. I mean, are you expecting me to do work? Does that...
Well, you just said you were going to cover the game credential. And do work.
Yeah,
you
got a media credential. Listen.
Oh, the listen with nothing after it. Just a bridge listen that is allowing him to gather himself for whatever the lies are.
I'm not even trying to catch you in a lie. I'm just curious as to what this is all about.
Listen,
here's what it is.
He didn't want to pay for tickets.
I'll figure out what Meadowlark needs.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is. Expense account.
Yeah,
free ticket. Well, get paid to go.
He doesn't have to pay for parking.
Don't do anything though. Just don't do anything. Get free chips. Get just don't have money going out. Say you're working and don't do work, and don't go. Because he's not
going to buy him a drink.
He's not going to go. He'll buy you a media drink.
Yeah.
He'll buy you the free media drink.
On me, Roy, all night. Yep.
Are the Panthers the only local team that gives beer to the media?
Yes.
Wow.
Are they?
Yeah, Marlins used to. Hmm. Many, many years ago. I don't think they do it anymore.
The Heat used to.
It's odd, though, right? I mean, serving alcohol to people who are working there?
No, the Panthers don't do that, though. They don't serve alcohol to the media.
Oh, you buy them?
Yeah, you got to buy those.
You do?
Yes. You got to go downstairs and buy them.
On me.
Thank you.
You got it.
Billy,
betting, I still don't get it. I don't understand what
Betting odds that he shows up, because it's not actually 10 minutes from his house, because Stugatz lives in Orlando and a little bit east, and this is, not near Parkland. This is probably, 40 minutes west of where Stugatz lives?
No, man, I'm telling you, just straight shot down I-75. I can be there in 15 minutes. It's that close. I'm serious. Parkland's out west, man. I don't know what you're talking about. The arena's out west. Listen, don't talk to me about my neighborhood, okay? Oakland Park, Sunrise, Parkland, Coral Springs. That place, Panther fever everywhere, Dan, and we're excited about the game. It's our team.
I will give you $500 if this combination of things happen. This is a free $500 for you.
$500.
Plus the free ticket.
I will give you $500 if tonight there is video of you driving to that arena and you make it in less than 15 minutes.
Well, I mean, there's traffic. Okay, game day traffic.
Okay, there it is. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Here come. You will not make it.
I'm going to MapQuest it right now.
You will. You
MapQuest?
What?
Where's the quest?
You will not. First of all, you change 10 minutes to 15 minutes, and you can't help but have every sentence that you say be a lie and have some factual inaccuracies in it. You can go whatever time of day you want. You will not make it in 15 minutes. Like, it's total bullshit that your home is 15 minutes from that arena. It's simply not true.
Okay. Well, I'm mapping it out right now.
You're map questing it out?
Yep. You got to do, Dan. MapQuest, at least to my knowledge, is the only navigation app that gives you start and finish. You know, like Waze, you just put in your destination and that's it. You can't figure out how long a ride's going to take from a different location, meaning I'm here, and to find out how long it will take to get from my house to the arena, you can only do it on MapQuest.
Waze does that as well. I don't understand.
What?
Yeah, I mean, it's yeah,
you can plan a drive. I'm doing it right now.
Yeah, pick a time.
You can plan a drive from one place to another place, and it'll even tell you, based off of what time you leave, how much time you should give yourself to get there. Yeah. I'm going to do it right now.
What's your address, to go?
Why do you make shit up?
What's the name of the arena?
He does not. It is fuel to him. It is like oxygen. Lies allow him to breathe. If he could not lie, put it on the poll, Guillermo. If Stugatz could not lie, would he fall down on the floor dead?
The name of the place is FLA Live Arena.
Right. I've mapped it out from your home. It would take you 23 minutes to get there. Well,
that's morning rush. I mean,
no, I'm planning for you to get there at 6:45 p.m., mm-hmm. which is puck drop, which is a little bit before the game.
Yeah.
23 minutes.
I'll beat it.
Waze is scientific.
No, it's not.
In getting there.
No, it's not.
No.
The time beat Waze on the corner.
Exactly.
Yeah. Google Maps. Yep. Good luck beating the time on Waze.
Oh, get out of here. We do it every... We talk about making that a game show. Yeah. Waze times changes all the time. It's never the time when you leave. Like, today it said a certain time, and then it went down 2 minutes, and then went up 4 minutes, and then went down 3 minutes. It's constantly changing. Waze is always changing. It's always right, because when you get there, it says, oh, this is the time you were supposed to get there. And it's like, no, Waze, I'm on to you. I was paying attention when I left. I know that I beat you today.
Tell me some more about this game show. What is the name of this game show?
It's called Beat Waze.
Beat Waze, yeah.
Like Beat Shazam. I thought it was
going to be Error of Your Ways. I thought because you want to disprove.
That's way better, though.
You want to disprove.
No. That's too smart for what this game is.
Not catchy enough. Not catchy enough.
Exactly. No, it's Beat Waze because it's a game show where you get, you know, every average ordinary citizen's beating Waze and technology, and you know, they're so smart, this Waze will beat it.
It is unscientific. I don't think of it as scientific, but I will say that every time I look into my phone, and it tells me exactly where the traffic is, I have not gotten to a place where all of this is so normalized that I don't stare at my phone and say, how are you doing this?
So I have a question for you guys.
And what else are you watching?
When you use Waze and things pop up and say car pulled over on the side, police officer, whatever, still there or not there, do you answer that truthfully or you just hit a button to get it out of the way?
I just hit it just to get it
me
out.
Me too. Sometimes
mostly because I don't have it on my phone. Like on some cars, that's like a feature of the Apple CarPlay. We can hit the screen in the car. I don't have the Apple CarPlay. So like you've got to hit it on your phone. And for me, it's just like, get this thing out of here and tell me again, what time am I going to be there?
So today I hit still there. I usually hit still there because I don't want to hit. And it's always, I don't see it, but I'm still in traffic. So I just assume it's still there. So I hit still there because I don't want to hit not there. And then have people think that they have like a clear journey and then they're late because of me. They won't know it's because of me, but I'll know it was because of me, even though I don't know them, if that makes sense.
Jesus.
So you're always considering the consequences of your decisions.
I'd rather
everywhere.
People think like they're going to be late and get there early than think they're going to be early and get there late on my account. Again, even if I don't know the people. Now, today I hit still there. And then like in the corner, like if I won some sort of video game, it just said +2 and it started flashing. And then it like disappeared, and I'm like, am I accumulating points on Waze? Like, what
you
is
are.
This about? Well, what does that do?
I don't know what it does, but I do know that Wazers have like a score.
Really?
I don't know what it is, Wazers. or if there are any Wazers. Rewards.
How about Questers?
Oh, I have a new badge available.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
There are awards on Waze?
Apparently, yeah.
I have 122,614 Waze points.
You're rich.
I have no idea. I have 6 badges as well. I have no idea what that means.
Oh, wow. I'm a guest Wazer, so I've never logged in. So are my points all for naught?
I'm close to 50 reports.
I'm at 8.
Put it on the poll at Lebatard Show.
Can I get a Waze t-shirt? Do these points do anything?
That's low for Whittingham, it feels like, 50 reports. Like
one of my favorites is to let people know when there are closures. Like, every once in a while, Waze will send you a place where there's a dead end. So you hit the little thing where it says closure, you put the arrow in the right place, and it sends. I feel like I'm genuinely doing a public good when I do that, when I report
you
of a closure.
You should be Waze.
Put it on the poll at Lebatard Show. Do you know what your points and badges get you on Waze?
Do you know how Waze also can kind of, like, predict where you're going? Like, depending on when you get in the car, like, it'll just sometimes start driving.
Just gives you like 2 options.
Yeah, 12 minutes to home.
Exactly, yeah. Right. Well, okay,
12
so
minutes.
I have not figured this out for years, but somehow the home setting on my phone, where it says my home is, you click home, is Marlins Park. No idea how that
It's your
that
home
happened.
Away from home.
Lone Depot is what's set as home on my Waze somehow. I don't know how that happened.
Right now, I'm questing at 21 minutes. My house to BB&T. I'm questing. I'm going to do this,
Does
Dan.
Does MapQuest have an app?
Listen, I might just do the bet with you, take a video of me driving there, get there in 15 minutes, prove it to you, collect my 500 and go home. I mean, how about that?
Well, you say that, and it's just words that don't mean anything.
You're
because
right, yeah.
I bet you that you would not get the color car you wanted because your wife wanted a different color car. You are ostensibly in control of what kind of car and what color it is, and you lost that bet.
In bets that I control the outcome, I am 0-3.
Well, you just don't, you sit them out. You are DNP. Like, you control the outcome. You control the outcome, but you just sit out the stuff. You say you're going to do something, and then you don't do it. You can tune in to tomorrow's postgame show to see if Stugatz did any work with Roy on the postgame show, sticking around after game 5 to do some postgame shows so you can have some of what you will have today. After our show, where you can hear from Amin and Chris Cody. You could download that now. It doesn't have to be after our show. But the postgame show, among the things tackled by Amin and Chris Cody, is not just Amin being a celebrity when he walks into these games, really being in his element, everyone knowing him. It's also, and I want to talk about this with you guys, the DJ Khaled move of, you talk about home away from home, DJ Khaled feeling so comfortable courtside at a Heat game that he rubs the shoulders of Eric Spoelstra during play, which is not something that would have been well received, I don't think, if the game had been close. I don't think Spoelstra would have been quite as affable about a rap person or hip-hop producer touching him.
I don't think he would have done it, though, right? If it was a close game?
I don't know.
He's very comfortable.
The part about DJ Khaled, this is, I know he represents Miami, but DJ Khaled is confusing to me because, and I am ignorant here, I'm not someone to tell people to tell others about style, but his talent is not obvious to me. It is not overt. Now, I know that he is respected by the hip-hop community as a producer. It cannot be disputed. I lose, but I wish his talent were a little bit more overt because as a representative of Miami, he seems like a real airhead. And what I know about him is that he helped make Snapchat popular by getting lost here in his hometown on a jet ski.
That was almost a tragedy. Like, we shouldn't laugh at that. We almost lost a kingmaker, as Tony put it.
Yeah.
He's very talented. I mean, he's a great producer, obviously. He's made hits. He's made legends. I mean, I don't know why I'm the DJ Khaled expert.
I'm not. I know that I am not the one qualified here to tell you what his talent is. I am not. I'm sure many people in our audience are saying, "Really, you're going to be the decider on this?" I'm telling you, I'm speaking from a position of ignorance. Just generally speaking, when someone has the fame that they can treat the arena like they can rub the coach's shoulder, that talent is overt to me. Usually, I know who that person is. Like, I understand what Drake is doing, whether I like Drake or not. I understand what Drake is doing with the Raptors and how the Raptors benefit from having Drake around. Last night, I'm watching the game, and they are saying, this place is filled with celebrities, and all I saw was Khaled, because Game 5, second round, doesn't bring out the celebrities for the Miami Heat.
But you don't think Miami and the Heat organization benefits from having him there? I mean, he's a Miami legend.
Again, what I am saying is his talent is not obvious to me. An ignorant person right. about what his talents okay. are.
Mm-hmm. It's fair. I mean, it's not obvious to me as well, so I understand that. But
well, I think you guys are discounting the notion that being good at social media is a talent, because in our modern world, it very much is, and DJ Khaled is very good at social media. I've watched him go to work on the F1 paddock this weekend, and that dude was crushing it on the paddock. And like a lot of international media are like, oh, wow, that's DJ Khaled. Like, DJ Khaled has reached for his social media use, and also he's done a lot of good work in the music industry. I don't know how. I don't know what songs. I don't know other than just shouting, DJ Khaled on songs. But you know what? It must mean something to somebody.
All right, well, Tony, if you've got such strong opinions on this, if you're off mic over there with your passions that can correct us, feel free.
The off mic opinions don't help.
I mean, all right, let's slow down here for a second. DJ Khaled's a legend. Salute to DJ Khaled. Came up with through 99 Jams here in Miami. Yeah. I mean, first off, he's a kingmaker. He's a tastemaker. He's an influencer. He's got to deal with Jordan Brand. Like, he's DJ Khaled. Like, well, what else do I need to explain?
Well, you
like,
haven't really explained anything.
All you've right. said is he's TJ Khaled. He's an influencer.
No, not 99 Kiss.
Whatever.
99 no, what?
Definitely not 99
I Kiss. Thought he said Kiss. I don't
know. No, what? 99
Kiss
Country. Jams.
99 Kiss. You think DJ Khaled
where he
came
made
up?
His bones.
You think DJ Khaled came up through their local country station?
The Chili Cook-Off, of course.
You think that DJ Khaled,
the Khaled Cook-Off, yep,
made his bones with features that include Garth Brooks?
You got to get a start somewhere, Dan.
I mean, as far as Kenny Walker, as far as kingmakers are concerned, as far as producers,
Kenny Walker's Y100. Do you know anything?
Khaled and Kenny. I mean,
do you know anything about local radio? You started in it. Do you know 99 Kiss?
Rick Shaw.
Rick Shaw.
Rest in power.
yeah. As far as kingmaking producers are concerned, could you compare him to Quincy Jones?
No, DJ Khaled. I mean, no, you can't. But thank you. I mean, but he's like the ultimate kingmaker.
Really.
But you can't even compare him to Dre, can you?
No. You can't compare him to Dre either.
Who can you compare him to? Like,
give me.
He's incomparable.
There you go.
He's incomparable.
He's incomparable?
Not an answer.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Put it on the poll. Is DJ Khaled incomparable?
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
I mean, they used to call me Chris Karaoke.
Stugatz.
Karaoke. That back row is bringing it today.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Miami Heat last night. All of a sudden, everybody trusts Max Strus again. It's funny how that happens.
Home court.
It's just, it is consistently funny that we go through this every year and we always forget how this happens, where you go up 2-0 because the first five games of both Dallas Phoenix and this have been the home team wins all the games. And I want to ask this of Amin when he gets here, because I do think with all the threes Stugatz, we're headed toward a change that's not great for basketball, which is you want these games to be close. You yes. want these games to have a lot of drama, and the basketball playoffs have had a couple. Like, they've had a couple when you were real interested in Celtics-Nets. They gave you something at the end of game one that felt invigorating and exciting. You got a little something at the end of some of the Golden State-Memphis game. But and the Minnesota-Memphis games were fun because those teams were wild and reckless and immature and young. But you've gotten a lot of, when you tune in for drama, you're getting a lot of 25-point games that are double digits throughout, and you're like, why am I watching this?
Yeah, it's been bad. You had the Celtics and Nets that first game, and it's, again, perhaps the best game of the playoffs thus far. We'll get to it. It's just...
Will we get to...
Oh, I think so, in the conference finals. I think if it's Suns and Warriors in the Western Conference Finals, and the Heat versus the Bucks, or the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, we'll get great series on both sides. We just haven't gotten any
yet.
But
I haven't run the numbers. It seems to me since the advent of everyone's going to shoot 40 or 50 threes a game, there are a lot more 20 and 30 point games. Just
it feels
in
that
general
way.
Yeah. All over basketball. I'm not even talking, but I haven't run any of the numbers and I haven't looked at them. But just my viewing experience has been like, man, I'm tuning into a lot of games that are never close. That they just end up being 20 point, 10 point games. And the best I can do is hope that somebody hits a three to cut it to nine.
And it's not just that these individual games aren't close, it's that the overall series is. So it's not like you have teams that are horribly outmatched, but for whatever reason, the games themselves, like I think Suns Mavericks is going seven. I think there's a decent chance that Sixers Heat is going seven. But we haven't had a good game in Sixers Heat. It's strange.
But the thing that I don't have confidence in right now is that if it goes seven, that the seventh one is going to be close. Now, I do think that Boston and Miami are very evenly matched. But I do think the three-point shot has distorted some things. We will get to that with Amin El-Hassan a little bit later. Amin El-Hassan, who was ripped by Greg Cody in his column, in a column that had a typo during the ripping. Greg Cody took out Amin El-Hassan for being scared.
That's on the editor.
It is, right? Greg's fault. Right.
Yeah.
It's not Greg's fault.
He took Amin out. Well, it is his fault.
But someone reads it after Greg writes it, and then they put it out there, right?
Yeah.
That is correct, okay. But it is ultimately something he put in. It's not something somebody else put in. But Amin El-Hassan accused Bam Adebayo of being scared, and it was interesting to me. I don't know whether it was interesting to the audience or not. I told you that my wife's analysis, my wife's view of this, and I do find charming the innocence of just being reasonable and human around athletes, and seeing Joel Embiid in a mask, me explaining to her that his face exploded when she asked, why is he wearing a mask? And her response being, he should rest. Mm-hmm. And when I talked to you about the pressures that come to bear on these people, it was on to full display yesterday when Dwayne Dedman swats at a ball. The ball hits Joel Embiid in the mask. He falls to the ground. He can be theatrical, but it appeared to me like he was crying from the pain, like physically.
It looked that way.
It looked to me like he was on the floor. Now, his face is shattered, and he's wearing that mask because there's an orbital bone there that's been broken, and now he gets hit in the face with a ball, a legal play, a swipe, so cold that the Heat ended up scoring a basket on the play because no foul was called or should have been called, but he gets hit in the face because he's playing a brutally physical game physically, and then they go to halftime. And Barkley and Shaq are crushing him. And I'm watching that, and I'm like, okay, you've got a broken face, and you're playing Bam. Bam's defending you with a ligament torn in your hand. And I don't know what the concussion protocol is, but it appeared to me when he walked into the arena after game three that he was having trouble with the lighting, that his eyes were hurting from the – that his head was hurting from the lighting. And so he goes to halftime, and Barkley and Shaq are there, and they've done all of this. They've played hurt before, and both of them are. You got to be more aggressive. He looks like he's wounded because he didn't win the MVP. That he's in his feelings. He's distracted. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, dude's face is shattered, and they're asking him to play Bam Adebayo, and I'm like, that's got to be kind of hard.
But he did it at home. And he did it very, very well.
Okay, but he didn't do it MVP well, Stugatz. He changed the game, but he didn't do it looking like he looked all season leading scorer.
Agreed.
In the league.
Yes.
He looked like a diminished version of himself on adrenaline at home and doing things very near the rim.
Right.
Like, he banked in a three in one of those games, but it's not like he was floating around the perimeter and can beat you from all over the court because he's a confident player. And they were just asking more and more aggression, and I kept watching and tying it to... He didn't win the MVP, so he's distracted. I'm like, his face is shattered. Like, his face is shattered. And he just got hit in the face. And when I was watching that in slow motion before he got in the face, he wasn't all that interested in the rebound because he was cautious about his face is shattered. Like, he doesn't want to go in where his face is going to get hit by somebody. By an elbow, and I kind of understand it. Like, I understand.
Yeah, but those guys don't, Dan. They're saying, hey, if you're going to go out there, you decided to go out there and play basketball. And if you made that decision,
yes,
then go play basketball.
But if he doesn't do it, he's also
but
soft.
But he did
ben
it the Simmons, first two games.
Ben Simmons and Kyrie Irving decided to not play basketball. That didn't go so well for them.
Right.
People would understand this, though, if he didn't play.
Okay, but... We should understand that he is playing because he's tried to save the Sixer season.
And
it is against his better judgment to be out there right now.
And it must have felt pretty damn nice to come back to a hero's welcome 3-4, and Harden looks like himself again. Wow, it's great to have Embiid, but this is the flip side of it, Stugatz. You get a half. You get a half with a shattered face.
Right.
You get a half when you're the MVP with a shattered face before Shaq and Barkley are on your neck because you're being guarded by Bam Adebayo.
But, Woody, are you acting like he doesn't want to be there? He's strictly doing this for the team? He's doing this for Joel Embiid. He's good enough to play. He went out there and played. They won two games. And all Barkley is saying is, hey... Show up every day. If you're going to be out there.
Why do I have to choose between who he's doing it for? Why can't he be doing it for everybody?
So I think this is similar to Baker Mayfield being out there. There is still a valor for big, high-level athletes to play injured, right? It's part of your own personal narrative. Gutting it out. Being tough. Not every athlete is making me-based decisions based off of long-term health, right? I mean, you know, we talk all the time about Kawhi Leonard being interested in his own personal health, missing a lot of games, and people have said that since he left the Spurs, he hasn't won much because he's a little bit too concerned about the injury that he has. So, I mean, it's one of those things where we are absolutely going to win no matter what. If you don't do it every single night, you have to remember in the series as well, there's no rest. It's every other night. Like, you've got to travel, you've got to play on a Monday.
The first two games off.
Then play on a Wednesday.
Right.
I don't know if everyone else had this feeling, and maybe this is just what a team looks like when the shots aren't falling, because good God, that Sixers bench is thin, and Game 7 with George Niang shooting jumpers, good luck with that. Because the Sixers are awfully thin after what represents the process is him and his broken face trying to fight at the very end for what's left of the process, him being good enough to be an MVP and him trying to salvage what remains of their season and the process with the quote, the Heat are not allowing me to catch the ball. Like Stugatz, I have not seen him defended that way, where you toss it into him and it goes out of bounds because they can't figure out how to just lob him the ball to get. He's saying the Heat are not allowing me to catch the ball. That's right. A guy whose feelings are hurt because he led the league in scoring and he didn't win the MVP award. And he thought he was good enough to win the MVP. And he's like, the Heat are not letting me catch the ball. And now I've got ligament problems in my hand. And now my face is broken.
And James Harden's my teammate.
And George Niang is my teammate, missing six threes. And I can only count on Danny Green when we're at home. And what the hell is going on with Maxey? Like, Maxey's got to carry somebody here. Somebody needs some help from Maxey. You're one of the fastest dudes in the league. James Harden looks like he's 53 and just got out of the club yesterday because he's not going to look the same if you don't give him any rest. And Maxey's not there for them at all. So what ends up happening, Stugatz? It all falls to the MVP, all of it. When Shaq and Barkley talk about the bus driver, you got to drive the bus whether your face is shattered, you got to drive the bus whether you're being quoted after the game, they're not allowing me to catch the ball. Not score.
Right.
Just get in position where I might be able to score with my broken face and be aggressive because the lack of threat everywhere around him doesn't have to be respected because they can guard him that way. And Maxey's still not giving you anything consistently. Or you got to trust George Niang, and they'll let George Niang shoot as much as he wants to shoot in this series.
None of this is, in my opinion, is on Maxey or anyone else. This is what Joel Embiid wanted. They're thin. He knew they would be thin when they made that trade. He wanted Ben Simmons out. They got Ben Simmons out, and he wanted James Harden. James Harden is not good. He is just not very good anymore. He's not consistent.
Well, he was good at the end of game four.
He was good at the end of that game. He was dreadful last night. Just absolutely horrific. And he's been bad in the three road games in this series and hasn't been great in one of the home games either. And so that's on Embiid and Harden. It's not on Maxey. It's not on anyone else. Doc Rivers, Joel Embiid, James Harden.
Do you realize
this is what you wanted? This is what you have. Go win with it. I am tired of Doc Rivers.
Stu, the thing is, Maxey's been their third best player all season, arguably their second best player when James Harden's been MIA. So you can't say, oh, Matt, it's not, the burden's not on Maxey. It is. He's their third best scorer. He's the guy that's initiating the offense. Nobody can guard him, right? He's one of the fastest guys in the league. He's 21 years old. Like, he should be scoring at will.
But
who's
Tony,
defending him?
They lost by 35. If Maxey has 22 points, I mean, they're still getting blown out.
Understood. And the other game that they won, right, he came out and had 21 points in the second half. And nobody could guard him.
True.
Stugatz, yesterday, we talked about Dirk Nowitzki saying, I wish I hadn't played those last 2 years. I wish I could play soccer with my kids. I wish, he was saying without the words, that my next 40 years weren't going to be suffered with terrible pain. I continue to say to you, even as today, you come in here after game five and you say it's on Embiid, it's on the stars, it's on Harden.
It's on Doc.
And then, weirdly, I'm tired of Doc made an appearance.
It started with Embiid
wanting
James Harden, which, by the way, there's probably Daryl Morey who wanted James Harden. He loves James Harden.
It seems clear
that Embiid wanted to keep Jimmy Butler. That seems clear every time they're hugging each other on the court and being playing patty cake out there.
When Embiid is crying last night and he's on the ground and he's withering in pain and Doc Rivers is complaining, he wants them to stop the game, he thinks a foul should have been called, no. That's why I'm tired of Doc Rivers. The reason Joel Embiid is hurt, the reason they're dealing with this, is because Doc thought it was a good idea to keep Joel Embiid in a game in which a series was over, they were up 30 points, and he was still in that game with 2 minutes to go. I don't want to hear a word from Doc Rivers as it relates to Joel Embiid. We have to stop the game, cater the officiating, cater everything to Joel Embiid because Doc Rivers made a lousy decision. Get out of here.
Stugatz, he was on the floor writhing in pain.
What did I say?
Apparently withering in pain. Writhing in pain, looking like he was crying.
Yeah.
It hurts so much.
And Doc's getting mad at everyone.
No, my point is that
you're mad at yourself.
My point is, and you arrive the next day and more. And at halftime, Barkley and Shaq are more. My point is the media is like more. Daryl Morey is like more. He again and again, everyone wants more from the guy with the shattered face crying on the floor while he's got a shattered face and cries on the floor.
When's he going to get the point, though? I mean, we want more.
And
he, MVP.
He hasn't been
top five player in the league. You're out there playing. Play.
He's trying.
I think what Joel Embiid is experiencing right now, no, he knows this team's not good enough. He knows the team's not good enough.
So it's good enough in 3 and 4, but it's not good enough last night.
I think he sees it on the road and James Harden on the road. Dan, I think he thinks this team is not good enough.
I would argue that when he's on the floor crying and it's hard to catch the ball, I don't think it's because Joel Embiid is saying to himself, I'm not aggressive enough. I have to sit out here on the perimeter. I think Joel Embiid is being beaten down by the circumstances that will require him again. He's got one more game to figure it out to see if he can summon, I'm the best player on this floor. But when you start adding things to me like torn ligament in shooting hand combined with face shattered and the discomforts of playing with a mask, you got so many of these guys are about rhythm. All of them will tell you that it's a totally different thing to be thinking about your mask or your comfort instead of just being comfortable. Mm-hmm. That is going to affect. We can all agree, right? You would agree, Stugatz, that it's rare to have the guy with the broken face have the overachieving performance that exceeds his MVP levels. You would agree with that, right?
I mean, Richard Hamilton played his entire career with a mask. Rip. Won a couple of titles. How about that?
Never cried that I can remember. Yep. On
never complained.
It wasn't his entire career.
It felt like it.
Yeah. It was after his face was broken.
The Hall of Fame part of his career.
I challenge you to look at the first few games after that. Because it's not, Joel Embiid hasn't been wearing a mask his entire career. He's been wearing one.
He did fine the first two. He should be used to it by now.
He did fine. Again, I will remind all of you, he did not do his averages. Like, he did fine. He changed the game, altered the game in a way that cannot be disputed, made James Harden more space for James Harden. He also was below average on all of his averages. Am I right about this? Chris Whittingham, for as much as he got celebrated for winning, he was not MVP numbers. He was not. He had the game because he gave them something, but
he also wasn't the MVP. Now he's showing us why.
Has Joel Embiid been the MVP? We've just tossed that around. Joel Embiid has never won the MVP. He finished runner-up to Nikola Jokic this year.
Yep. Put a mask on him. See if he complains.
What are we doing? Joel Embiid, 3 years ago, missed 3 weeks and 10 regular season games as a result of this orbital bone injury. He came back in a week, missed 2 games, and we're banging on about his lack of contribution in an away game in which, look, Bam Adebayo, when he was on the floor, his defensive rating was 75, which is unreal. Bam Adebayo has a huge part to play in Joel Embiid not looking like himself. But like we've talked about with Maxey, like we've talked about with Harden, when you lose by 35, that is a total team failure. It was not just on Joel Embiid. It was on the whole situation. And now they're going to attempt to save their season in a home game 6. It appears likely, based off how the series has gone, they'll be heading back to Miami for 7. And hopefully in that intervening period, Joel Embiid can get healthier enough to play a decent away game. But I think we're probably having a bit too much of a go right now at Joel Embiid.
To answer Dan's question, 24-11, his second game back, 18-11, his first game back.
Who knew home court advantage was so important?
I told you, MDOT.
You did mention MDOT.
We also got the Duncan Robinson game yesterday.
Yep.
What'd he do? Oh.
He made a 3.
That's right, but he was out there.
It was late, it was garbage, but they gave him 5 minutes.
That's why I
can't believe
the Duncan minutes.
In retrospect,
what's the bathroom? 14 minutes.
The amount of time that...
Well, it was 5 when the game still counted, just to see if he was hot.
Him being out there, though, kind of changed the whole dynamic of the game.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yep. 48 hours of Duncan Robinson chat online, on this show, on other shows... In my group chats, was a gargantuan waste of time.
35-point win. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
He played 5 minutes, missed a shot, and scurried back to the bench.
Plus five.
Come on.
That's what happened.
But that's all we ask. Like, just give him a look.
But,
5 minutes.
But it played no role without him, in the outcome of the game.
It threw everyone off.
When are we going to learn?
Change the game.
Without him, it's a 31-point win.
Yep. When are we going to learn as an NBA populace that the guy who isn't playing is not the answer in the series? It so very rarely is. I was listening to a podcast this morning, the Bill Simmons podcast, in which one of the hosts said, maybe Dallas can get a game from Frank Ntilikina.
Maybe.
And it's
maybe.
What are we doing?
He's in Dallas?
With Frank Ntilikina?
Maybe
this series is not about Frank Ntilikina.
Well, here's a Nick.
Here's my question.
Yeah,
with everybody playing in a 35-point win, why did we not get UD some minutes?
Mm. Oh,
why was he not out there?
He doesn't want to be patronized, it would appear.
Mm.
He doesn't want to come in blowouts.
You know what Spo did at the end of that game? It was 5 Duncan minutes. They weren't very productive. It did throw the game off, though, the Sixers off. But then at the end of the game, being the great coach that Spo is, he put Duncan back in, he hits a 3, and now he has confidence moving forward.
That's right.
That was more important than the UD minutes, in my opinion.
4 points. Yep. UD does have that confidence. He doesn't need to have the confidence
Correct.
Built up.
Yes.
But if you want Joel Embiid to not play another minute in this series, little bow from UD, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Make that fracture a clean break.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Goodness me.
I'm just saying.
You're just saying what?
I'm just saying.
Okay, you're just saying.
He has a mask. He's fine. Yeah.
Put it on the poll.
He went right back in the game list.
I'm just saying, if game 6 goes south, then maybe we'll see some UD minutes early on game 7.
Put it on the poll. Are you surprised that Billy is just saying and that his countermeasure elaboration is also to say that he's just saying?
But imagine game 7, Dan, and the Sixers think they have a chance, and Embiid goes out for the opening tip-off.
Ugh.
And he's met by Udonis Haslem.
Duncan.
You don't think he's going to be terrified? He knows what UD's in there for.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he doesn't do it, the illusion of him doing it. Yes.
That's exactly right. Just like the Duncan minutes yesterday. They don't actually have to do anything. There's just the fear of what if they do. And then that throws off the Sixers completely.
Yeah.
You think that Joel Embiid's going to be playing aggressively if UD's on him at the start of game 7?
Nope.
I think that Joel Embiid would be thrilled to have a 42-year-old Udonis Haslem.
I don't think so, Tim. No.
Instead of Bam Adebayo.
No.
Yes, I believe that he
would. Laughs at Bam.
And I will tell you again, even though you never listen to me when I tell you it, that the reason that Udonis Haslem doesn't play at the end of blowouts is because veterans in that sport view it as quite the insult.
That's why you start him game 7.
Exactly.
Like a starter in baseball. On the line.
Like a starter in baseball. You put him in 2 minutes. Chicken wing.
Zigak. Boom. Yep.
He's had Bam for lunch the last couple of games.
That's true.
A Bam sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Bamwich.
If we could, Stugatz, I simply want to analyze. I realize that you're the court jester. I realize that you dance around.
I realize
that you pretend to care about Dirk Nowitzki being in pain and then go right back to being the person you were 24 hours later. I realize that you will not go to the Panthers game today because you have no character and you're filled with lies.
And 500,
yet,
I mean.
And yet you rain down judgment on Joel Embiid, and
I'm just agreeing with Charles and Shaq.
I would just ask you and the audience.
You'd agree that Charles and Shaq know more than basketball about you, right?
Say that again?
That Charles and Shaq know more about basketball than you? Maybe they're right about this.
I believe that Charles and Shaq know more about basketball the way they used to play it than I do.
The way Al Horford plays it.
I believe that some things have happened in the game that elude them and that they say they can know more than me and do know more than me about various things and can also be wrong. And that halftime analysis felt wrong to me of just seeing out there that Joel Embiid was slowed and not acknowledging that he had been on the court writhing and crying because he's got a shattered face. All of that said, though, Stugatz, I don't think anyone who watched that game last night would come away with a different appraisal than why do the Sixers look so slow and sluggish as Doc Rivers is yelling at them about effort? Like, is it just missed shots that make a team look heavy-legged?
I think it's James Harden.
I think it's South Beach.
You guys think South Beach got the Sixers before Game 5? You think that they were at Live Sunday? You think that they were partaking? I didn't see any of them at F1. Do you think
Live on Sundays like church?
Yeah,
that's
right.
Yeah.
Are you of the feeling that
they
got?
They were still in Philly. Yeah.
That they got, but you saw what I saw, correct? That everybody had that appraisal of how Philadelphia looked. That they looked slow. That they looked. Is that the product?
Well, I think the ball is in Harden's hands so much, and he looks slow. And by extension, the team looks slow. Like they had two
but
years.
But Maxie's not slow, Stu. Guys,
he's not slow at all.
Is that a product of just missing shots? That if you continue to miss shots and get held out to the perimeter, that a defense can make you look slow.
I think that factors into
but
it.
I don't
sure.
think the Heat can make the Warriors look slow. I don't think the Heat can.
Well, I don't
think
anyone can make them look slow.
I don't think but this is what I'm saying, though. Like, this is not. The Sixers are built as a team for Joel Embiid and James Harden to slow the game down and play half court and get a lot of fouls.
You have a guy who is not what he used to be, and you have a guy in Joel Embiid who is clearly injured. I'm not saying that he's not, and so your two best players, the thing that you lean on, the guy's not as good as he used to be, the other guy's injured. Like, it can't look good. Dan, there are going to be games, stretches of games, where it looks slow and it doesn't look good, and it hasn't looked good for the Sixers at many moments during this series, in three games, actually.
Whittingham is saying, I wouldn't be surprised if it comes down to Game 7. It certainly has felt like that in this series, but this also does feel a little bit like what Game 6 felt like between Sixers and Raptors, that we're headed toward a place
sure.
where Philadelphia realizes, yeah. hey, not only were we not as good as this team all year, but we've got James Harden, who's just been here for 10 minutes and isn't quite himself, and Embiid can't be the MVP or runner-up in the MVP. That he's right. not. He'll be a facsimile of himself. He will be out there and trying, but not dominate a game. Just overtake it. Like an MVP type candidate, Stugatz, doesn't just make the game easier for Harden, which is what Embiid did in Philadelphia. An MVP candidate plays like an MVP candidate. It's not to make the game easier for a handful of other guys. It's not to be a facilitator. It is to be what you saw. I'm sure the Heat fan in the audience felt this when in the third quarter, right out of the half, Embiid just makes a couple of jumpers that were short in the first half, and you're like, well, here he comes. This is him going. He's going to do
what Al Horford
did in the fourth quarter the other night. Right. He's going to come and be the best player on the floor. There was no evidence of that last night. None.
No, and on the road, Dan, I think this is what Charles is kind of talking about, and Shaq as well. Even though they lost that game, Jimmy Butler knew Game 4, his team didn't have it. And so he tried to will his team to victory, and he gave them 40 points. And last night, you needed that type of performance from Joel Embiid because the rest of the team was lousy, and Joel can't do it right now. He can't do it right now.
But why can't that be the analysis versus because that you're saying Charles is right, and I'm like, no, he was wrong. Like, he can't do it. Like, he's trying. He wants to do it.
Yes.
You want him to be more aggressive.
And you know he can do it.
He wants to be more aggressive, but it's a little hard. I think in a vacuum, if I don't make it about the game and surround it with all the bullshit that surrounds sports, if I just say to anyone listening, hey, can you be yourself with a broken face? If you're crying on an arena floor in front of 19,000 people in a national television audience, and Shaq and Barkley come over while you're crying on the floor and your mask to protect your shattered face is on the floor, and they're like, do more, do better, try harder.
It sucks.
Yeah, it does.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan.
or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.